Worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We praise and worship you, Lord. Just lift your hands for a moment. Tell Jesus how much you love him. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We live in a free country. We can come and worship you, Lord. We worship you, Master. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, there is no other God but you. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, Lord. We worship and praise your holy name, Jesus. What a privilege to come and tell you that we love you, Lord. We praise your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus, the true and living Christ. We love you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you and bless your name. You're welcome in this place, Lord. You're welcome in this place. Oh, just fill this place with your glory, Lord. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want, Father. Hallelujah, by your Spirit. Oh, we praise and we worship you. We praise you and worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. God's getting in my feet already, about to take off, hallelujah. God in your shoes, oh yeah, God will get right in your shoes, hallelujah. If you don't believe it, watch Andy a while, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Gerald, you want to go ahead and take your liberty here?
Let's just worship the Lord a few minutes.
Hallelujah.
Those of you that want to stand can stand. You don't have to. Those of you that want to lift your hands can lift your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just go in His presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our strength, and all of our soul.
We worship you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we just praise you and we worship you. You are the God, Almighty. You are the God that we serve. You are the God that we worship. You are the God that we praise. Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to give your only Son to come down on this earth, that if I had been the only one here, you would have not only sent him for me, but if anyone in this room would have been the only one on this earth, God, may they realize tonight the blood covenant they have with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus, that, Father, it's binding and that it cannot be separated. Lord, that you, Father, that we've not only got a hold of you, but that you've got a hold of us.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Shita Namaste. Father, we just worship you and we praise you. Lord, make it revelation to each and one here tonight. I know it is in their heart, but oh, Holy Spirit, bring it up and make it revelation to their mind. That we got a God that is lacking in nothing, in any area. We got a God that can do anything. There's nothing that's too big that our God can't handle. That you are real, Father. May each and every one begin to understand that you're more real than the people sitting in this room tonight, Lord. That heaven is more real than this earth. Father, make it revelation to them tonight. The ones that's lacking in areas, whether it be finances, Father, whatever it may be, Father, they may take time to say, Lord, help me. And you will, God.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we worship you and we praise you. The Holy Ghost wants me to share something with you tonight that I won't take just a minute, but back in 1983, I was admitted into Central State Hospital. I spent 30 days there. At the time of my life, I haven't received the power of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of praying in tongues. I'd been a Christian most of my life, or a saved. When I entered this hospital the day before, I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but I was way out there on drugs and alcohol and several things that finally began to have blank spots in my mind. When I'd go to talk, I couldn't remember what I was talking about. But all I'm saying tonight is I spent 30 days in the hospital, and a short time after I got out, I got introduced to Gary, George Trubicek, and some other people, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
All I'm saying tonight is I know that each and every one here tonight, that God has come down and picked you up. Not this time, right now. I want you to thank Him. Thank Him and let Him know right now that He is God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That He is the reason that I'm here tonight. I'm not any more special to God than each and every one in this room. But right now, just for a few minutes, I'm going to thank Him for the place that He brought me from, because truly tonight, I would have been dead years ago if it had not been for the Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to meditate upon Him giving His only Son. Not only His only Son, but a teacher to walk with us. I never knew this past 12 years ago. But just for a short time here, let's just praise Him and thank Him for what He's done, where He's brought us from, and not only that, where He's taken us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we just worship You,
Father,
and we
thank
You.
Thank You,
Lord. We're so grateful for the price that was paid.
We praise Your name.
We thank You, Lord, that we take a stand, Lord.
Thank You.
On the blood.
Oh, we thank
Oh, Jesus, we know where we'd be without You, Lord.
Oh, thank You, Father.
Oh, Son of Nam, she hit
it. Thank You, Father. We praise You, Lord. We
oh, Son of Nam, oh, she.
Oh, there is no other
oh,
God.
Oh, God,
you
are it, Father. We love You with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and all of our soul, and all of our mind.
We praise You, Father.
We worship You, Lord. We're so grateful.
Oh, we thank You, Father.
To be in Your
thank
presence,
you, Father.
Lord.
Thank You a thousand times.
Oh, say
that we love
she.
You.
We oh, Lord, we love You and we worship
we
You,
worship
Jesus.
You,
we love You, Father,
praise
with all
name,
of our
Father.
Heart,
Hallelujah.
With all of our strength. We
praise
thank You for
Father.
Where we've come from, Father.
Hallelujah, Father.
And, Lord, thank we thank You, Father. For each and every one that's
thank
here
you,
tonight, God.
Praise You, Father. Hallelujah.
And, God, we thank You, Father. We thank You for the solid ground that You have put us on.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You.
Oh,
Shitanasa.
We worship You.
Praise You. You are God and there is no other. We worship
oh,
You.
Oh, Shitanamashi.
Thank You for Your great love for us, Father. We love You. We appreciate
oh,
what You
do.
Oh, there's nothing
we
like
praise You, Lord.
We worship You. And
we glorify You, God.
You
Hallelujah.
God. You are God.
You are the Father of light.
Oh, every good thing comes from You.
Oh, praise You, Lord.
Praise You, Lord.
We worship You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. See, I know you guys don't know Gerald very well like I do. The thing I appreciate about Gerald... He knows the Holy Spirit. Because see, he doesn't have a clue what I'm going to teach on tonight. But what it's about is giving your testimony and telling what great things God has done for you. He doesn't know that. But see, being moved by the Holy Spirit prompted him to give you a little bit of his testimony. How many of y'all think God's brought him a long ways from the hospital?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We got everybody seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me go ahead and start these around. Now, don't be alarmed. There's only one page tonight. Now, that does not mean you're getting out early. So don't even think that. I don't want you into deception. Right? Like some this way, some down the middle. And I made 40 of these. If we run out, some of you just have to share it, and we'll print a few more afterwards. Hallelujah. And there's no confession page. Every week, every lesson does not lend itself easily to confession. You know, we've been doing that every week. This one tonight's a little different. I'm so glad you all are here. Hallelujah. How many was here last week, last Thursday? Okay, if you remember, we did something a little different. I had a prayer request from Lynette, which I intended to pray at the end of the service. And then once Gerald started praying, which it's amazing, once Gerald starts to pray, I hear God. That's one reason I like for Gerald to open the prayer. When he prays, I hear God, you know. God says, no, I don't want you to wait till the end. I want you to pray now. So we had two prayer requests, and we prayed for the one, but then we prayed for Lynette. Now, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself because I want to give that testimony near the end, right after this short lesson that we're going to do tonight. And then Lynette and Elaine and her husband, if she wants, give his perspective, are going to tell what God did, the great things that God has done for us. Hallelujah. Has everyone got a paper or close to it? Okay, well, hang on to it, Eddie, and if somebody comes in, okay. All right. Here we go. You need one? All right. Hallelujah. Tonight's lesson is called Tell What You Have Seen and Heard. And I got that from Acts 4:20. And this is when Peter was brought before the religious folks because they didn't like what was happening. How many of y'all know that religion does not really like Jesus?
Amen.
They don't like Christ. Most of the religions I've ever been around are very anti-Christ. They'll tell you that they love Jesus. But boy, if anything starts happening, when Christ means, the definition of that word, it's Greek, it means the Messiah, it means the Anointed One. Now, when the Anointed One really shows up, stuff happens. Okay? I'll be nicer than the bumper sticker. Stuff happens, okay? When the Anointed Ones, and that upsets the apple cart, because religion likes to have all of its little ducks in a row. It likes to have three songs, and we'll read our bulletin, and take up an offering for 40 minutes, and in 20 minutes of reading an article out of the newspaper, or something like that, and then an amen, and then everybody be out by lunchtime so they can make it to the buffet, you know. How many of y'all noticed it's not quite like that at the prayer center? Thank God forever. Hallelujah. But anyway, stuff had started happening. Peter and another disciple were going to the temple to pray, and they came by this man who was crippled, and he was sitting, he was begging. He'd been born that way. Everyone say, born crippled.
Born crippled.
That means birth defect.
See,
I don't know, you have to think about it like that for it to really settle in what's going on with this guy. Birth defect. He had never walked. Ever. Not ever. Never. Okay? Never. See, today, if they find defects, major defects in the babies, the fetuses, as they call them, in the womb, they want you to abort them. Because there's no hope, they say. There's no such thing as that with the Anointed One. The Anointed One said, all things are possible with God. And He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Everyone say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And I believeth more.
I believeth more.
The next time you see me. Amen. You will too. You will too. So anyway, Peter, and you know, after this miracle, the man got healed and he was leaping and jumping and telling everybody about it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You know, you've born crippled and now you can walk. Well, it was creating quite a stir, and that the religious folks don't like that. So they called him in on the carpet, see? And they're telling him, basically, you're not allowed to do this anymore. You know, you don't be preaching in the name of Jesus, and you don't be doing this miracle stuff. And this was their reply, Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See? Now, people are interested in reality, not theory. Most people who try to witness for the Lord do not really understand what being a witness is. Okay? Listen to the instructions given to the Apostle Paul immediately after his conversion. Okay? This is when Ananias come in to pray for him that he be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And through Ananias, the Lord said, Paul, or Saul at that time, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. See, a big part of witnessing, everyone, you know, the church I was raised in, they're big on witnessing. And it's fine to go witnessing. I'm not really against that. But really what Jesus said is, be a witness. He didn't say, go witness. He said, be a witness. Everyone say after me, this is a confession I make every day of my life. Say, I am a witness,
I am a witness
that Jesus Christ,
is alive.
I am a witness,
I am a witness
that He is Lord of all.
That He is Lord of all.
I received power. To demonstrate those facts, when the Holy Spirit, came on me. The works that Jesus did, I do also. Because I am, His witness. Glory to God. Y'all say that every day, you'll get weird like me. You just get weird. You don't care what religion says. Like Pastor Dave says, you know, you won't be any good to the devil at all. You go to talking like that. You just be sold out for Jesus. You don't care what they think about it either. Glory to God. But see, your testimony is a big part of being a witness. See, a lot of people, this is boot camp. See, we're trying to get to basics here. Well, I don't know what my call is, and I know most of you don't yet at this point. I don't know what He really wants me to do. I understand that. I didn't either. But all of you are in training, aren't you?
Amen.
I mean, you've got, at Pastor Dave's, you've got the best there is when it comes to finding out how to find out God's perfect will for your individual life. He tells us over and over, does He not? Turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Let Him pray the mind of God through you in those other tongues. And if you keep that up, you will know in precise detail what God's plan for you is. You'll know your call. You'll find out the gifts that He's given you to equip that call. And your only problem then won't be, what does He want me to do? Your only problem then will be, will I do it? Okay? You know, like I've said before, nearly everybody that starts at the prayer center... surely we can find a chair for you. I don't want you to have to stand the whole time. You come right on through here. We got one right here, if you don't mind. Hallelujah. But, now, where was I saying, Andy? This is a test. Anyway. Everyone, when they first come to the prayer center or here, you know, they always have basically the same problem. Pastor Dave, Brother Gary, my problem is, I just can't hear God. And, of course, now I've learned to tell them, you know, I say, well, stick around a while. You're going to have a bigger problem than that. I am? Oh, yeah. If you humble yourself under the teaching and do it, that's not going to be your problem. Your problem is going to be, you're going to come to me one day and say, I heard from God. And you're not going to believe what He told me to do. Oh, yeah. I'll believe it. I'll believe it. Trust me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, anyhow, well, again, but I know at this stage, most of... See, I don't know what the end of my ministry is. God doesn't deal with me like that. I don't think He deals with anybody like that. He gives you one thing to do. Then He watches you. And if you're faithful to do it... Now, He didn't mean perfect. Dear God, anybody that knows me knows I'm far from perfect. But I'm faithful. How many of y'all ever came on Thursday night? We've been doing this over 2 years and found a note on the door, gone fishing, sorry. You know? You know? No such thing, right? I didn't. How many of you find a note on the door? Sorry, I just didn't feel like doing Bible study tonight. See? You know? See, God's watching. Now, we went on vacation, and that's fine. But we got a substitute. We got somebody that's qualified to feed the sheep while we're gone. You see what I'm saying? Okay? So, whatever it is He calls you to do, He watches you. Will you be faithful? Will you do it honestly? Will you do it without money in mind?
Come on.
Will you do it only to serve the Lord?
Yeah.
And He watches you. And He says, if you're faithful in little, then I'll make you master over more. And if you keep on, so he'll give you another assignment, and it's a little bigger responsibility. And then he watches you there. And if you're faithful in that, he'll give you another assignment. See, and I don't know what the end is of our ministry. All I'm trying to do right now is be faithful in what he's told me to do right now. Amen? And it's the same with each one of you. But now, I said all that to say this. Even though most of you might not know right now what your call is, I can tell you one thing. Every blessed one of you is called to be his witness.
Yes.
Now, there's a difference between witnessing and being his witness. Okay? Now, watch this. Every one of you can do this. This doesn't take education. This doesn't take learning. It doesn't take a scholarly brain. Every one of you can do this. Now, watch this. See, a big part of... Okay, your testimony... Let me back up a little bit. A big part of witnessing is telling what you yourself have seen and heard, see? What has the Lord done for you? And what has the Lord done through you? Your testimony is a big part of just being a witness. Okay? Well, you say, well, I don't know, you know. Well, let me ask you. Has the Lord saved you? That was weak. We got people that listen to these tapes. They're going to think nobody's here. And we got about 45 or 50 people here. Hallelujah. Now, has the Lord saved you?
Yeah!
Hallelujah. That blew my hair back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, tell people about that. I was lost and undone, a sinner on my way to hell. I didn't deserve nothing from God but hell. Do you understand me? And Jesus came and shed his blood for me, and I'm a saved human being, and I'm going to live forever with God in heaven. Let me tell you about Jesus. Now, see, you can do that. You can do that. You don't have to have 9 years of training and 4 years of college to tell people Jesus saved you. Amen? Just say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. Now watch this. For some of you, see, you can tell people about the fact he saved you. Has the Lord healed you? Hallelujah. See? Glory to God. Well, tell people about that. Tell them. Hallelujah. Okay. For some, has the Lord healed somebody through you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, tell people about that. And if you're one that got healed, tell them about that. See? All right. And then how about, has the Lord, I missed one somewhere. Has the Lord delivered your children? Yes. Hallelujah. Stand up, child. She's being real quiet over there. She was reading. Hallelujah. He's delivered her, though. Glory to God. And I thank God for it. All my babies are on their way to heaven. Every one of them. Glory to God. My grandbabies are going, too. I got news for you. Hallelujah. And I can tell. See, I can tell people about that. Do you know what encourages? I mean, so many people right now are still standing for their children. Their children are out in the world. It encourages them for me to tell them, hey, I know where you're coming from. Let me share with you the verses that the Lord gave me. Let me tell you how the Lord did it. Now, he may do it totally different in your case, but you know, you can tell them, I'm telling you what he does for one, he will do for the other. He is no respecter of persons. If he saved my baby, he'll save yours. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I got to preach on me tonight, Andy. Hallelujah. Now, see, the Apostle John, the one that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now, was he a witness? And he saw everything, didn't he? He saw everything for 3.5 years. Traveled with Jesus, ministered with him, saw everything Jesus did. Every time Jesus cast out a devil, John was there, ate the same meal, slept in the same places. I mean, you know, John is a witness. Now look what he says right off the bat in 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. he tells us why he's even writing that letter. That which we have seen and heard. Uses the same words that Peter did. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in plain English, you could go up to somebody and say, now look, I just want you to know Jesus has done some great things for me. And I want to just tell you what he's done for me, because
He and I are in communication. I mean, He's my Lord, and He'll be that same way with you. Let me tell you what He's done for me. See? And you can just, you know, tell Him what He's done. For you, through you, for your kids, for on your job, your finances, your health, everything, see? And that'll get the ball rolling. Hallelujah. All right, now, even in the Old Testament, it was important for each generation of Israelites to witness or pass on to the younger generation all the things which they had seen and heard. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, this is a long psalm, and I just picked out part of it. Psalm 78, and we're going to start in verse 1. I don't know what that means, masculine of Asaph, but anyway. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings. That just means mysterious sayings of old. Okay? Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them. Now get this. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Y'all know why we know about God splitting the Red Sea? Man, that's been passed on and passed on and passed on generation to generation. We don't want to forget the wonderful works that He has done. You see? Alright? For He established a test... This is verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Why? That the generation to come, everyone say, my kids,
my kids,
might know them.
Might know them.
Even the children,
which should be born.
Why? And why? So that they can arise and declare them to their children.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You need to tell your kids about God. You need to tell them everything He's done for you and everything you've seen Him do. They need to know that God is real and not theory. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, Jesus delivers. He gets good, sweet men like Gerald out of Central State Hospital and makes a servant of God out of him. Glory to God. Puts his mind back where it should be. Gets him off drugs and alcohol. I could tell you stories, but I won't. Hallelujah. And the whole reason is verse 7, so that they, the children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Today we would say, follow the Spirit of the Lord, so that they'll learn to obey Him and follow Him. In our dispensation, it's those that are led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God. They need to learn to follow Him. Amen? Then from that, I skipped a bunch of stuff. It's a real long psalm. I didn't have time. But here's some examples. See, even Asaph, who wrote this psalm, he is telling the people in the psalm about the wonderful works of God, starting in verse 13. God. God divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters to stand as a heap. See, people say, you know, New Age. They say, well, man is really God. I got a friend named Les, and he was in an argument like that, you know, with somebody one time. They were saying, well, man's really God. Man, no, there is no God. Man is the essence of all things. And so Les said, come here with me a minute. Took this guy by the ear, or anyway, took this guy out in the front yard, looked up at the sky and said, man is God? Fine. Make a cloud. I want to see you. Go ahead. I'll just stand here. You make a cloud. I just want to see you make a cloud. You know? How about another planet? There's an empty spot right over there. Man is God? Go ahead. Make one. You know? See? It's amazing the folly of man. The wisdom of man is just stupid. Okay? I can't find a better word, you know? God divided the sea and caused them to pass through. God made the waters to stand as an heap. I'd like to see Les take that guy out here to Lake Keystone, you know. Okay. Divide the waters. Make it stand up in a heap. And we'll go across on dry ground. You're God? Okay, I'll watch. Go ahead. I want to see you do it. Go ahead. It's got to be dry ground. That's right. Well, of course, they can't do it. Okay, verse 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud. Glory to God. And in the night with a light of fire. He's talking about the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. Go ahead. Let's see you make one of them. Come on. All right, New Age. Come on. Let's see you just make... I want to see a pillar of fire. Come on. Give it up. Verse 15. He, God, clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. You know what he's saying there? Honey, we didn't get no trickle. I said, he gave us water as if it came from the great depths. And then he even, in the next verse, he says, he brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Plural. Glory to God. You're out in the wilderness. There's nothing but snakes and scorpions and hot sun. There's no water. God comes down. Everyone say, God comes down.
God comes down.
And when he smites the rock through Moses, you know, he told Moses, smite the rock. And Moses did, but I want you to know when Moses smote that rock, God smote that rock, okay? Yeah. See what I'm saying? And they didn't get no trickle, honey. I'm telling you, it says water came. I bet you could hear it. Amen. Watch that rumble, you know. Water coming up and come out like rivers, it says, in the middle of a desert. Come on, New Age. Let's see you do that. Here's a rock right here. Let's see you bring water out of that thing, okay? Hallelujah. God is, everyone say, God is God.
God is God.
Nobody else is.
Nobody else is.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now see what the reason I put that on there, Israel, they kept telling every generation. Man, they kept telling, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what I have seen and heard. See? And that's what we're talking about tonight. Every blessed one of us can do that. Every blessed one of us can do that. I mean, God has done such great things. Well, I'll get to that here. I'm getting ahead of myself again. It's important to be a witness of the things which you have seen and heard. Everybody can do that. I said this earlier. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be a scholar, nor some kind of great speaker to simply tell what you have seen and heard. You can all remember show and tell in school? Okay. Being a witness is show and tell. Tell them what you've seen and heard, see? Give your testimony. Be a witness. People need to, listen, people need to hear about the true and living God.
Amen.
Not some kind of theoretical pie in the sky, sweet by and by, maybe hope so kind of religion. You know, people are sick of religion, if you didn't know it. Always remember this, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with a theory.
Hallelujah.
You got that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That was worth the price of admission right there. See, you can't tell Gerald now that God doesn't make a difference. Where was he without God? Where did he wind up without God? In the hospital on drugs and alcohol, see? Mind all messed up. Couldn't even remember to make sentences. And look what God has done. God brought him out. I mean, you guys, I'm telling you right now, most of it could not handle Gerald's job. I've been there. I don't want it. Okay? I'm telling you, it's a job with a lot of responsibility. It's incredible. He makes decisions every day that affects millions of dollars for his company. That's no joke. Millions of dollars. And he's responsible for it. Now, this guy, before God, was on his way to the loony bin. Okay? He was in Central State Hospital, all messed up. But one day, God showed up, didn't he, Gerald?
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he's brought him out. See, now, Gerald, he's got that witness. He's got that.
Yes.
I mean, you came too late to tell Gerald that God can't save drug addicts.
That's right.
You came too late to tell Gerald that God can't get you free of alcohol.
Yeah.
You came too late to tell Gerald he can't restore a mind that's been affected by those things.
Amen.
You came too late. See, somebody said, well, God's not real. He doesn't do that. Gerald is not at their mercy.
Amen.
I know. He says, I know what I know. I'm the one that was in the hospital. I'm the one that couldn't remember. I'm the one that couldn't get off drugs until God the Holy Ghost showed up. Buddy, you came too late. You came too late. You can take your theories down the road. You came too late for me, boy. Hallelujah. Excuse me. In my case, for example, you came too late to tell me that God will not provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 2.5 years, God has proven Himself faithful to Sue and I. And I'm telling you, you know, all that's required is obedience without question. That was quiet. All that is required is obedience without question. Hallelujah. If you obey God, He will never let you down. Now, y'all know my testimony. I disobeyed God for 10 months. Y'all, you remember that? He told me, and I didn't do it. Nearly cost me my life. Wasn't God's fault. Wasn't God after me. I got myself out on the devil's ground. Hallelujah. Thank you. And He brought forth water in a glass from the kitchen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it was cold and refreshing. Oh, anyway. Well, what I'm saying there, you came too late to tell me that God will not provide all of your needs. I'm telling you what God, when God gives you an assignment, He will foot the bill. And you don't have to figure out nothing. All you got to do is do what God says. Now, that's real hard for us human beings, isn't it? Real hard. If He says, don't take up no offerings, guess what? Don't take them up. If He says, don't sell no tapes, I can do English better than that. But at the end, you know, thou shalt, you know. But it's just better to say, don't sell no tapes. Yes, sir. Okay? Don't put in any return envelopes. Yes, sir. And don't tell anybody about anything you need. Yes, sir. 2.5 years He's proved Himself faithful to us. 2.5 years. I was telling Sue the other day, I said, if He'd let me work now, we could give it all away. You know, you understand what I'm saying? He's got us in a position now. You know, if He would allow me to get a job, I really could. I could just give it all away. We don't need it. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now, what? Everyone say, what He does for ugly Gary.
He will do for me.
We know, Gary.
Whatever God does for him,
He'd sure do it for me.
Sure.
Well, hallelujah, you see. The only thing He requires of you is the same thing He required of me, though, and that's pray enough to hear Him. Humble yourself under the teaching at the prayer center. Do what, you know, pray. You old flaky thing. No, pray. Pray yourself till you start hearing His voice. And then obey what He says. But I'm here to tell you, see, what I'm doing tonight, I'm standing up to tell you what I have seen and heard. And I'm here to tell you, in 2.5 years, He has shown Himself faithful. Whatever He tells you, do it. Do it. You'll be glad at the end. It may scare you to death at the beginning. But you'll be glad how it turns out because He is faithful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, Gary. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read that again. You came too late to tell me, Gary Carpenter, that God will not provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory. I know better. You can take your theories on down the road. I'm the one's been living 2.5 years this way. I know. I have experienced it for myself, see, and I tell everybody who will listen. How often do I tell? Pretty regular, don't I, even here? God takes me to Houston. What do? Tell what we've seen and heard. Tell what we've seen and heard, you know. I'm a witness, see. All right, now watch this. You came too late to tell me that tongues are not for today. I was raised Baptist. Do you understand me? All I ever heard was tongues is not for today. Anyone that does it is of the devil. And all who do it go to hell. Now, that's the way I was raised. And I believed that because I did not have an experience. And I believed it also because I didn't read my Bible for myself. I went and listened to what they said, and I did not read my Bible myself. I remember when I finally started reading it for myself, I was shocked when I got to Mark 16. Red letters in my Bible, Jesus said, those that believe shall speak with new tongues. I was shocked. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I was going, I can't. I can't hardly believe that's in... Turn it over, look on the back. Yeah, it's King James. It's a real Bible. My God, you know. It's not some kind of modern weird translation or something. And then as I kept reading, I find out that Paul says, I wish or I would that you all spake with tongues. And I'm going, And then I find out right at the end of that chapter, he says, and forbid not to speak with other tongues, you know. And I'm going, well, they sure did at the church I went to. Now, I had to make a choice, didn't I?
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody, I don't care how sincere they are. I mean, those men were sincere. Don't get me wrong. They're not trying to deceive me. But they are sincerely wrong. And the end result is they caused me to believe a lie. Well, what do? You repent. When it comes down to choices between Paul or your preacher, go with Paul, okay? When it comes down to choices between Jesus or your preacher, go with Jesus. I don't care if it's me. Go with Jesus. You understand me? That's why I always say, I've been lied to by too many preachers already. It's not Scripture till I find it. You know? Hallelujah. In my Bible. You ought to be the same way. Glory to God. But you came too late now to tell me that tongues is not for today. I've experienced it for myself. You've also come too late to tell me that the Holy Ghost won't show up and be your teacher. And if you don't like that, I've got 900 lessons now in my computer, over 900, that I didn't know before I started praying in other tongues.
Yep.
You hear what I said?
It's time to get a computer. Put it all in there.
There you go. If you're going to start praying in tongues, you better start asking God for your computer. You know? Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we're believing for a computer back here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The way she does that, I always think she's trying to get my attention. But, you know. See, you've come too late to tell me that the Holy Ghost won't come teach you. I'm telling you, He would even come and teach Sean. Sean. Everyone look. Everyone go, Sean? Oh, yeah.
You too can be saved.
Even Sean himself. I know it's hard to believe. But if he'll humble himself and turn himself over to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit really, for hours, start passing those mysteries through his Spirit, the same mysteries that the Apostle Paul was made a steward of, the Holy Ghost has this unique ability to start revealing those mysteries to Sean in a way that Sean can understand it. And nobody will ever be able to take it from him either. He'll know what he knows way down in his knower, because he knows that he knows what he knows. And you can't tell him that he doesn't know what he knows, because he knows what he knows.
Come on.
And you can't beat it out of him with rifle butts.
Because
he knows, see? You come too late to tell me it doesn't work. 900. I'm just telling you that I'm just a witness. I'm just telling you what I have seen and heard. He has given me over 900 lessons that I did not know before I turned myself over to long hours praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating the Word. Now, you know, that's in there too. It's real hard for the Holy Spirit to teach you the Bible that you haven't read.
Amen.
Me, you know, that's not rocket science, you know. It's real hard for Him to teach you the book of James if you've never read the book of James. All right, you with me? Okay, enough on that. Hallelujah. I've heard the Holy Spirit teach me hundreds of Bible lessons. You came too late to tell me it's not for today. You came too late to tell me it doesn't work. You came too late to tell me that you can pray too much in other tongues and get weird. I think the people that say that are weird. Okay? You know? I tell everybody, and I tell everybody who will listen about it too. I tell them, don't I? I tell y'all all the time, pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will teach you. You are not too hard a case for Him. One day I got real disgusted with myself. I mean, I was disgusted with myself. And I was just kind of, I mean, just I felt, you know, with myself. Felt like going around here, you know, I didn't really do it, but I was thinking it. Boy, you are the most, Gary, I'm looking at you, but I'm talking to me. Gary, you are the most ignorant thing that ever walked. How in the world, you know, I'm going along like that, and all of a sudden I heard him just as clear as day.
For the national audience, this is Lynette. She's the one we prayed for.
And she's going to give her testimony about what happened.
Where do I start?
You can hold that right there.
Well, when Gary prayed for me, y'all know the lesson last week was overcoming fear. Well, Ellen and I left to go to Iowa, and about halfway up there, I think it was about Kansas City, just a spirit of fear came over me so heavy that I was just terrified. And I told Ellen, and she started praying for me, and the Holy Ghost came in my car so strong, and it just disappeared, and I got such confidence. And when we got there, I wanted just so much to just lay hands on it right then, but for the first time, I really heard the Lord's voice telling me, no, wait.
Hallelujah.
And that was really a stepping stone for me, because I, like he said, I'd had a hard time hearing his voice. And later that night, she made the comment. Her husband had gone to bed, and we were sitting around talking, and she made the comment, man, I wish the Lord would just heal me already. And the Holy Spirit said, now. I said, okay, Lord. And so I put Gary's tape in. I said, okay, you know, Elaine, listen to this. And as soon as I started playing the tape, the Holy Spirit came in her house very, very strong. And she had been sitting on the floor, and it was so strong she couldn't get up for me to lay hands on her. So I laid hands on her while she was sitting on the floor. Well, we ended up being drunk in the spirit, all three of us, for about 3 hours. And by the end of that 3 hours, okay, she was so sick that her stomach had been bloated about 3 or 4 inches. I mean, she looked like she could have been several months pregnant. And by the end of that 3 hours, her stomach was flat.
Hallelujah.
And
glory to God. You see and heard this?
Yes.
You saw it yourself?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I saw it before and after.
Hallelujah.
And before she went to bed that night, she said, well, if the Lord is going to heal me, might as well drink a glass of milk. So she did. And nothing. I mean, she was perfectly healed.
Now, normally, for the benefit of the tape, milk, cheese
would make her bleed and bloat and just make her completely sick.
Hallelujah. Oh, she's only eaten mashed potatoes before this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Lord just did such a wonderful work this last weekend and this week, and now they're moving down here.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And
we need more warriors. Hallelujah.
On the trip down here, I mean, it was amazing, because when we got there, I found out that the U-Haul I had rented was not available, and there were none in the state. And so we started praying. And at the last minute on Sunday afternoon, we had thought about a plan where she would rent one later in the week and then drive down. Well, at the last minute, we found one like 2 minutes before we got to the U-Haul place. One came in. And because she rented it for me on her credit card, she had to drive it down. Well, her husband decided to drive their car down behind us. Which should have taken 8 hours. It took us 12 hours because the Holy Ghost was working really strong along the whole trip. In Kansas City, well, shortly before Kansas City, the Holy Ghost entered the U-Haul, and I was riding with her so strong that the windows fogged up. And, I mean, no mistake in that. And she and I both went into intercession, and that scared me for the first time. And when we got to Kansas City, very distinctly, I heard God tell me, you know, stop so you can eat. You know, stop somewhere where you can sit down and eat. And twice I said, no, we're not hungry. Wrong. The third time I said, okay. And so we pulled over and we stopped at the Shoney's. And it opened up the conversation to let my aunt minister to them. And their marriage was restored and healed.
Hallelujah.
And it was almost at the point of divorce.
Hallelujah.
And just the whole trip, we were halfway through Missouri and we stopped at a gas station that was getting ready to close. And Dave got out of his car, and as he was shutting it, he heard the locks lock. Now, that's God. I mean, he didn't push the locks. His hand wasn't even on the door, and the locks lock. So his car is running, and the keys are in it, and he's outside the car. Well, that gave them an opportunity for Ellen to go pray, for me to spend time with their daughter, and for them to be alone. And more healing happened in their marriage.
Hallelujah.
And further along the trip, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, she and I were praying in tongues, and I saw a transformation come over her from the head of her head to her feet. And she's a new person.
Lord.
Sometimes I wonder if I know her now. And her husband is a totally different person too. And I am too. Well, just for the record, last week I had a really tough time and I told God where to go. And if it hadn't been for Sue, I probably would have gone there. I was headed there. And the Lord turned me around and used me and has blessed me so much. I got a job where I had been working on phones as a phone operator for different ministries. And I asked Gary to pray for me on Wednesday night at the church. And I got the job that I wanted, where I'm not on the phones anymore. I'm doing data entry so I can pray in tongues all day if I want to. And he's just blessed me so much.
Glory to God. Give her an applause there. Hallelujah. Now, see, I didn't want to tell Annette really, you know, I mean, didn't she do well?
Yes.
But I didn't want, you know, did you know these tapes are right now going from coast to coast? Canada, Peru. She did really well. But now, see, that testimony will bless no telling how many people. People that think, well, God can't talk to me. If I'd have asked her the week before, Lynette, do you hear God? She'd have said no. That's my whole problem. I can't hear God. Did you hear how many times she said? Well, God said not now, and then God said now, and then God said stop and eat. And it's amazing. Once you start really obeying the Lord, you make up your mind you're going to obey Him. It's just amazing. And as He watches you and He tells you something and you're willing to do that, then He'll tell you to do something else. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Elaine, would you mind to give your testimony from your... I mean, this is, you're the one that had the sickness. If anyone knows how this feels, it ought to be you. So, and all you got to do is just tell what you've seen and heard. Stand right here.
All of it. I don't think he's got enough tape for all of it.
No.
Okay.
Hold it right about there and crossways to you.
Crossways to me,
like
okay.
That.
What he's done, that scene in her, oh boy.
Well, now what I mean specifically, tell him a little bit about what was wrong with you.
Okay. I had gone in for a gastroscopy and a colonoscopy. And for those who don't know, that's when they put a tube down and a tube up. They were checking everything.
Everyone say, ow.
Ow. Yuck goes right along with that, too. I had been put into the hospital and checked out every which way. They couldn't figure out what's wrong with me, so they said, don't eat this. That didn't work. So they said, well, don't eat that. And that didn't work. So they said, don't eat this. And we got all the way down to mashed potatoes, and I think rice, and rice started getting cut off at the end, too. And I was all the way down to mashed potatoes, no butter, no salt, no nothing. And every time I ate, she wasn't exaggerating. Every time I ate, if I had a good-sized meal, I looked 9 months pregnant. And I was wanting a baby. So, of course, every time I look 9 months pregnant, I go, oh, I'm pregnant. And then I start bleeding from the wrong end, and I go, wait a second. No, I'm not. Well, yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. So emotionally, I was kind of on this big roller coaster. My husband and I didn't realize how separated we had become, but we had. He was told to lie at work, so that pretty much put him on the wrong side of the fence, and from there on, it just kind of got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we all like to say, that can't happen to me. I hold hands with my husband in church. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that's real holy. But it was real true. And when my husband and I started on this trip, my husband started out by saying, I'm going to be at work at this time, and we're going to leave at this time. And then dinner got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. By the time we got through eating, it was 5:15 in Des Moines, Iowa, in Altoona. In Altoona. That's a little bit further away. And it was really funny because I was like, ain't no way we're going back. I don't want to go back, and we're not even on the road yet. We got on the road. We started driving in the truck, and I started admitting some double-mindedness to my best friend, Lynette. Oh, that's real hard to do. Double-minded. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's see. I had two personalities, one that I showed to the church and one that I showed to the unchurched. One that was, God can do anything. I know because I've seen it. And one that said, yeah, I wore a leather jacket and I poured drinks and, yeah, I know how to play pool for money. So what? I had two very distinct, and never the twain shall meet. But when this trip started, my husband was real calculated on exactly what time we were going to leave. On the way down, I started telling Lynette about my life and how I'd grown up and things that had happened in my life and why things had happened and the reason I had turned out the way I had. And I told her that there was a man in Des Moines that was paying more attention to me than my husband, and it was really starting to irritate me. And when we stopped at the restaurant in Kansas City, it was so cool. Ellen looks over at my husband, and she, whoop, everything. We were trying to hide from everybody, including ourselves. And he went, I thought I was good at hiding this. And I went, so did I. But we weren't. Didn't even realize how bad off we were till we got so far away from it. It stopped being an issue. And I was like, oh, hi. I'm married to you, right? But after we...
Honest to God, true.
It's true. It's the truth. We got back in the truck. We're heading down the road. I start interceding in languages I've never heard, going, Lord, I see this woman and her husband's dying. I don't know what's going on, except she's a missionary, and she's really going to miss him. Help him. And Lynette's looking at me going, I never heard you do that before. I said, I ain't never done that before, so you don't have to worry about it. The further we went, the more it got on us. I was like, okay, Lord, hi. Totally different language, talking about something totally different. We'd stop and we'd start talking about the same thing again. Finally, we stop at this gas station because the oil light was on the car. My husband and I had a conversation about this morning. There was an angel on their hood going, ting, 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 ting. And he got it lit up real good. And then Ellen went, ooh, I better do something. There was an angel in his car going, pray, pray, just pray. Come on, pray. And there was an angel in our car going, intercede, 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 intercede. We stopped. We're all going, okay, who's doing what to whom? God's what, huh? He comes up out of the car, shuts the door. I hear him go, oh! And I look over, and he's going, I took you to the car! And I looked at it, and I thought, finally! Somebody besides me locks the keys in the car while the car is running. I feel good! He's going, I'm like, okay, maybe I don't feel so good. We go into the gas station. The lady's like, get out of here! I said, no, we're not leaving. I have to make a phone call. Make a phone call. I'm like, we're in Peculiar, Missouri. You're what? I said, I'm telling you the truth. It's peculiar. It really is. I'm in Peculiar. I locked my keys in the car. Please come unlock it. What exit? Peculiar. Where's that? Missouri.
It's a peculiar exit.
Yes, it is. I never got so flustered. It's the quick of my life. So we're standing there, and I'm looking out the car going, I'm going to go be with my husband. Lynette looks at me, and she's like, I said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go be with my husband. I've been dying to spend time with him. I'm getting the time I wanted. I'm taking it. I walked out to the car. I put my arms around it. I said, it's okay, honey. I can't believe I locked the keys in my car. I said, it's okay. God's going to have some kind of plan. This morning we're talking about it. He says, on the way up there, right until that point, I was sure we were going to go back home that night. When that happened, he said, I could just see that angel from touched by an angel going, clunk. Go talk to your wife. And when he said it, I could see it too. Only it wasn't a her, it was a him. And he was going, I got my sword here just in case you get this door open. It was cool. We had a heart to heart, and I said, honey, just pray the rest of the way. I don't know why I didn't say that when we started out. Probably because God hadn't gotten through my divided heart to get to my brain to tell me to do it. Or at least I wasn't paying attention anyway, because I know I heard it. Told him to pray. So he starts praying. We get back in the truck. And to be perfectly honest, I don't remember that part of the trip because it was just kind of Holy Ghost. Yeah. Poured. It wasn't hands. It was all over. And out, and in, and out. And we went a little further, and we had to get off an exit. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to go back to Des Moines. It was too much fun. You're just like pouring yourself all in me, and I don't want to go back up there and have it all flushed out again. We stopped, and my husband walks up, and he says, we're not going back tonight. I went, thank you, God. God. Huh? His word? Work? Oh, his job, right. I'm sorry. We got back here. He was convinced he was going to go back because if he didn't, he was going to lose his job. So that was his main reason for wanting to go back to Des Moines. He got here and he said, who cares if I have a job or not? I'm not going back to Des Moines. So it doesn't matter if there's a job waiting for me or not. I'm not going back. He called his office and said, and he didn't wait to hear if they were going to fire him. He just said, I quit. I'm staying in Tulsa. Bye. It's been real nice knowing that. But through the whole trip, God had his hands on all of us. My abdomen had been killing me and bloating up on me and making me wish I was pregnant and then proving to me I wasn't has flattened out and stayed flat.
Hallelujah.
And only hurt when I got diarrhea from not listening to my friend tell me how I was supposed to fast. I don't know what I'm doing. Ha ha! Yeah, right. God says, you listened to her once. Why did you stop now? But, Lord, no. Listen. Okay. Okay. You got my attention again.
Okay, let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
Now, it's my understanding that you've been drinking milk.
I've been drinking milk. I've been eating cheese. I've been eating omelets, cheese, bacon.
All of these things would have given you problems.
Everything gave me a problem but mashed potatoes.
Now, I heard on the way back down.
Yes.
You had an opportunity to get into unbelief on your healing.
Yes, I did.
Because that happens to everybody. Now, pay attention.
Okay.
When you get healed or you get any kind of miracle from God, I'm telling you, the devil will come back to try your ground.
Oh, yeah.
Going to see if you believe this or not.
I think it was trying his ground, actually, at the time.
Now, just tell him what happened from your perspective.
From my perspective, I'm sitting in the driver's seat of a truck. I've never driven a truck before. It's weighty, and it's kind of swerves a lot in the wind. I'm looking at all the cars going by, and I'm going, okay, Lord, you healed me. That's cool. And I felt like from behind the seat there came two hands with claws, I'd say about the width of from my back all the way through to my front and out. Felt like they went through my back and then ripped into my insides and held on. And I'm like, Lord, ow!
Just minding your own business, right?
Yeah, I'm just minding my own business, trying to praise God for my healing. And the devil's going, "Oh, God, try one more time." And I kicked his butt out of the cab. Pardon me. Pardon me. We used your manual and we started confessing God's word.
Hallelujah.
And the devil had to flee.
Hallelujah.
He said, "Ooh, not Jesus again. What am I going to do now?" Ooh. And I think he ran back up to Des Moines.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And as far as I'm concerned, he can stay there. Okay.
Now, just so you guys will know, from the beginning, when the Lord told me about making the pages that go with the tapes, that's the reason.
Yes, Lord.
When you've got a battle, you've got a problem facing you, you don't always have time to go re-listen to a 90-minute tape. Okay? And that's the reason for those manuals.
Find it in your Bible.
That's the reason it's in your manuals. The confessions are there. The scriptures are there. Whatever the attack is, just go to the manual and start speaking the word. That's the way that's the way Jesus run off the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You run him off the same way. Hallelujah.
Running off is right. I think he hightailed it out of there real fast. But let's see. After I had the claws in my gut for a while, I think Lynette said, "I'll go get this notebook out." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, whatever." I had listened to your tapes. I knew your voice. I knew what you looked like before I saw you. She said, "There's him." And I went, "That's scary." Cool. Okay. I had these tapes out because I had been given opportunities to cheat on my husband with our best friend. And we had not taken up any of them. But, of course, we all know that as you think in your mind, so are you. Oh, when you have a divided mind and half of it's working against you and half of it's working for you, it's real bad. My husband's getting his tapes off, putting them in the tape recorder, turning the tape on. I'd go out in the kitchen and wash dishes. My daughter was in school. This is the last year she's ever going to be in public school. But she was in public school at the time, and I was saying, "Okay, Lord, I haven't read my Bible in 4 days, and everybody keeps telling me I'm so holy, I gotta get my act together." So I sat down in this big orange chair right next to my tape recorder, and I started listening to Gary preaching, and I went, "I've said that, I've said that, I've said that, I've said that. I just said that yesterday. I said that too. How come he says everything I say?" And I heard loud and clear, "It's my word." Kind of tough to have it translated differently. I don't care who says it. It's my word. I'm like, okay. I'd worked on a few confessions. Then I folded them in half and stuck them in the bottom of my prayer bag. Put my Bible on top and a notebook on top of that and another notebook on top of that. And didn't look at them again because they were convicting.
They were what?
Convicting.
Ow.
Kind of like getting a Holy Ghost slap. Ouch. I don't want to read that one again. That one doesn't have anything to do with me. Liar. Does too. That's why you don't want to read it. But our marriage was not only healed from a disaster, we weren't real sure how close to the edge we were, but my husband grew up in a church that's real, how do you want me to say that, honey? Religious? Conservative. Conservatively religious. I won't say that. He grew up in the kind of church where, as he said last night, you get up, you sing, you sit down. You get up, you pray, you sit down. You get up, you have a little quiet time, you smile nicely, you sit down. You get up, he preaches a little bit, you sit down. You get up, then you leave. That's it. Don't touch me, don't say anything, don't touch my heart, don't change my heart. Just let me come in, sit, soak, and sour.
Soak and sour.
That's my saying, sit, soak, and sour, because that's exactly what it's like.
You got three. This is your 3-minute warning.
My 3-minute warning. Okay. 3 minutes. My husband this morning walks up to me. Excuse me, he didn't walk up. He just kind of leaned over. And he said, "Honey," he asked me, "does praying in tongues Does that make you closer to God? And I went, yes. And he said, well, okay. I said, yes, dear, it does. And nodded for about 3 seconds. And he said, well, I've never been around anybody who talked about it, but man, everybody's talking, doing, and speaking about it here. I'm going to have to get used to this. And I'm going, please, Lord, make him so he wants this. Then he said, well, if it'll make me closer to the Lord, then I guess I want it.
Hallelujah.
And I said, praise God! I got my husband back. I got my mind straightened out for the first time in 15 years. And now I got a whole marriage with a wonderful husband and a beautiful little girl. And God's going to give me another one.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Did I get that done in 2 minutes?
You did very well. Hallelujah. Now let me ask you a question. The rest of her life, do you want to say something this time, or we'll do it next time, or? Come on, get up here.
Hallelujah.
While he's coming, let me ask you a question. You think anyone's going to ever be able to convince her that Jesus doesn't heal? You see what I'm saying? You see? That's what I say. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with a theory. They came too late now to tell Elaine, Jesus doesn't heal.
Amen.
Your name is, sir?
David Gomer.
And you are the husband?
I'm the husband.
Okay.
Anyway, I think everything else has been pretty well covered here tonight. I guess I can tell you about my personal feeling on why God drug me down here in my car for 12 hours last Sunday night. I had a job up in Des Moines working for a credit card company. It was just extremely fast-paced, heard a lot of anger, a lot of anxiety, a lot of bitterness on the phone all day long. I didn't work quite normal business hours. I got up at 7 o'clock every night. And one of my best friends, Nathan, a good brother of mine, got off normal time. And that sort of left the door open.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right there. And I began to just have a lot of... she would tell me they would be spending time together when I wasn't there with her daughter. She called me. I call her from work a couple times every day. The first time she told me that he took them out to McDonald's or for pizza or whatever. And I said, that doesn't bother you? I mean, he took you two out and I wasn't there. She's like, well, it's no big deal. I'm like, well, she doesn't think it's a big deal. I guess it must not be. Then the second time they all went out, I got angry, really angry. But I was at work and I couldn't really do anything about it. And I had a lot of hard feelings inside my body that I never really communicated to her the way I should have. And I prayed to God. I said, forgive me for my being jealous, and forgive me for this and that, and for being angry with her, because I know it's no big deal. There's nothing. I can trust him and I can trust her. It's no big deal. And then when Lynette came up, it was good to see her, and they had, you know, having a wonderful time, and my wife got healed, praise the Lord. Before she came to bed that night, she was spending some time with Lynette in a different room, and I was in the bedroom. I got up out of the bed, I saw the lights were off in the living room. I'm like, well, where'd they go? Why isn't she in here with me? Then I saw the door was closed, and she was in there with Lynette. And I went back in the bedroom and I slammed the door about as hard as I could without breaking it off its hinges. And her aunt, Ellen, knew exactly what was going on. Because I still had anger and bitterness, a lack of trust in my wife that I hadn't confessed yet and I hadn't told her about. And the following day, I found out that she'd have to drive the truck. And I'm like, if I stay here, when she comes down here, there's going to be a big, big problem when she gets back. I said, I cannot stay here. I've got to go down. And they were trying to find every way possible to go down there without me going. And I was She's like, you can't leave your job. You're going to lose it. I sat down. I was frustrated. I felt alone, totally discouraged and mad at the world. Then she came up with an idea. Well, I'll drive down. Then I'll drive back and you can sleep on the way back and go to work. I'm like, that's it. Let's do it. And then they related the story of in Kansas City and at the restaurant, and her aunt gave us a lot of revelations that I never realized were happening. I realized that our marriage was very close to being in very serious jeopardy. And then, of course, the door locking incident, which had nothing to do with me. I was mad. I was pounding on the car, and I looked up at the Lord, and I said, all right, I'm in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. I can't do anything about it. What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? Guy comes and unlocks the door. We start driving, and my wife says, pray for us, and pray and ask God what he wants you to do. From the minute I got on the road, I said, I'm out here in the middle of the night, driving in the middle of nowhere. I've got nobody to talk to. All I've got is you. What do you want me to do? I don't know. I might lose my job. I probably will. I hadn't talked with God seriously in weeks. I hadn't talked with my wife seriously in weeks. And he just started pouring stuff down into my heart. It's like Monday, I was going through a lot of doubt and fear about why I was here, what I was doing, what I was going to tell people. And I was laying around just thinking, and God told me, I brought you here to save your marriage, pal. And I know he has saved my marriage, because my wife and I are talking like we've never talked before.
Glory to God.
Which we had a very hard time doing. We confessed to each other. I told her I wasn't trusting her. I was mad. I was angry. She was spending time with Nathan. She said she was sorry and she knew what was going on. This full instant healing come upon us as a couple. But it's like, that's why I know God pulled me 500 miles to heal my marriage.
Take you farther than that.
And if you didn't already guess, she fits in here like she's been here all her life. And there's a lot of walls that I know that the Lord's going to help break down in me from a past of just fear and religion and being afraid of coming into a strong Holy Ghost environment. I've been very nervous the whole time I've been down here, but it's getting easier. Do I look nervous?
No. You're doing very well.
But praise God for my wife's healing, and praise God that I'm going to be married for the rest of my life to the same woman, and I'm thankful that God brought me here.
Now just for a moment, hallelujah, that cute, and now aren't that cute? Now I want you to understand, we just got a couple more minutes here, and I can't really improve on that, but now listen, you got to understand the importance of obedience, see, because you never really know what the Lord's up to. Lynette, see, Lynette, all she knew was, she's ill, I want God to help her, see, that's all she knew. Didn't know anything about God going to move that, you know, change their whole world. What? I mean, Lynette, you know what's that deal? God came to rock your world, you know. She was thinking about the physical healing. But now, notice the sequence of obedience. She was obedient to ask for prayer, first off. We prayed. I was obedient to switch what we intended to do. Do it at the beginning and do it the way the Lord said. Then she was obedient, fear and trembling or what, to go up there and do what the Lord said. And sure enough, then if you do your part, he does his part. Got her healed. But see, God had a lot more than that in mind. I mean, that's a major thing. There's people that would just give anything to have the healing, just the physical healing. But God, you know, he's the God that does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says, I'm not only going to get cause a healing here, I'm going to restore marriage, and I am going to restore children. And so we're going to have a new generation growing up that knows God. God has a lot more. But listen, it all starts with obedience without question. It all starts right there. You know, the Holy Ghost nudges you, says, ask for prayer for so-and-so. Now see, ask for prayer. And if you rebel right there, you broke the chain. Mm-hmm. All right? Or then if he tells me, okay, so say she asked for prayer, then he tells me, pray now. Don't do it at the end. Pray now.
Amen.
And do it the way I tell you. You know, I never heard anybody... You ever heard anybody put an anointing in them and send them somewhere like a handkerchief, you know? You know, I've heard of that with handkerchiefs, you know? He says, don't do it with Lynette, you know? See? But you got to do it the way the Lord says, and you got to do it when He says.
Amen.
See? So, anywhere along the line, obedience without question. Just trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing. You with me?
Amen.
Everyone say after me, Lord,
Lord,
I trust You.
I trust You.
To know what You're doing.
To know what You're doing.
I got it tonight, Lord.
I got it tonight, Lord.
Your job is to speak.
Your job is to speak.
My job is to obey.
My job is to obey.
I got it now.
I got it now.
You are Lord.
You are Lord.
And I'm not.
And I'm not.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You get it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 9 o'clock. Is the Holy Ghost good or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We still got some refreshments. Y'all help yourselves. And you're dismissed.